Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join us on this broadcast each and every morning. As we face the issues, let me remind you that we invite your dialogue, your discussion, as some put it, putting in your two cents worth. We'd love to hear from you during the course of this broadcast today. That telephone number that gets you through to the studios and right to our microphones is to 904-831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call is welcomed. We'll have a brief monologue. We'll have a very special guest today. We'll be talking about global genocide and the Twitter files. I have found it fascinating with Elon Musk and his peeling the Twitter onion. And the deeper he goes in the onion, the more stink you find. Have you ever peeled an onion? You stand at the kitchen counter or over the kitchen sink and you start peeling away the little thin sleeve that's around the onion to begin with. And then the deeper you peel it, the more aromatic it becomes and your eyes burn and it stinks even more. I don't know if you see onions that way. I do. I'm calling it the Twitter files, but it's actually the Twitter onion that's being peeled. We're going to talk about that today, some of the things that's taking place in America with the federal government in, collusion with the CDC and the FDA and other agencies already planning. Hear me. They are already planning on trying to place Americans under a fresh new lockdown, new mask mandates, and further mandates for vaccinations in the United States of America. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, they're not requiring any type of inoculation, any type of vaccination, any type of shots for any of the almost 5 million illegals that have come in under the Biden administration crossing our southern border. I find it antithetical to truth when we talk about trying to protect America and trying to protect us based on the forced submission for the forced jab with the vaccination that's been found to be worthless. We're going to talk about that and a multitude of other things today on this broadcast. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we discuss issues each and every day on this broadcast, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. I call it using a central biblicist worldview. What does the Bible say? Looking at what is happening in Washington, as we look at what is taking place on a global basis, as we watch what is happening in the Ukraine with Russia and all of the tentacles of Russia going out, as we analyze what is taking place financially with the digital dollar about to go into effect next year, the digital currency, as we watch all of these things, what should we see? How should we then live, as Ezekiel 33:10 asks the question? What should be our response? I believe that if we look at it through the natural eye, it's easy to get disillusioned, discouraged, and in some fashion, willing to just sit in silence. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what the socialist Marxist media and the left want us to do. They believe that somehow, some way, the Christians ought to sit in silence with the eyes closed, with the mouth closed, over in the corner and become second-class citizens, say nothing, do nothing, and be not involved in anything. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what they're attempting to have us to do. But if we look at the events under the microscope of the Bible, having a central biblicist worldview, the Scripture says in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, that means to constantly dwell and to stay in my word. That's the word of God, Jesus speaking. Then you're my disciples indeed. The word indeed means truly, surely. Jesus says one of the evidences of being a true follower of Jesus is staying in the Word of God. And then in the balance of that verse, it says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, the freedom that we have in America is wonderful, but it does not compare with the real freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the freedom that we have today that we enjoy, that our founding fathers codified in our Bill of Rights in the First Amendment. The religious liberties and the freedom of speech are those that we treasure and cherish, but they're first granted to us by God through God's Word. Jesus then says in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And further, ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 117 and in verse 2, it says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." But ladies and gentlemen, truth is not sought for today. Have you seen the Biden administration or anybody in the tentacles out of the Biden administration with the FBI, the DOJ, the FDA, the CDC, et cetera, all of the three-letter acronym governmental agencies? Have you seen any of them try to tell us the truth or produce the truth or walk by truth? That is simply not the case. And they demean truth. They reject truth. They are repelled by anyone that stands for the truth. I go back to the secularist George Orwell, which in his dystopian novel entitled 1984 made a profound statement. He said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We see that being played out today in full form as we find the detestation and the hatred for truth or anyone that speaks it. I'm appalled, ladies and gentlemen, by some of the latest statistical data, one being that the particular article states, most young Americans say there's no absolute truth. Further in the article, it states 55% of Americans, 18 to 29-year-old age group, say that each individual determines their own version of truth. Let me just read you a brief, small paragraph. It's kind of a footnote in this research article. "The loss of truth has grave consequences for any community or for justice or the sense of purpose and mental health. I'm not aware of any civilization that has abandoned the reality of truth to the extent that we have today and survive. The good news is that Americans still hold out hope that each person can make a difference. If there ever was a time to stand for truth, it is now." And I second that, ladies and gentlemen. I believe we need to stand for truth as never in the history of our great nation, or the history of the world for that matter. That takes me back to the thought from Jan Hus, ladies and gentlemen, the 15th century theologian and church reformer. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And I challenge us each and every day on this broadcast with that statement from Jan Hus. Seek the truth. That goes back to seeking the truth fountainheaded out of the Word of God. God's Word is truth. Jesus says, "I am truth." And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, the only hope that we have for turning America around is to go back to a fundamental, foundational, biblical basis of what is truth. The original is the Word of God. And as Jan Hus said, we need to be willing to defend the truth even to death. So that's my challenge to you each and every day. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located right in the heart of the Mandarin community, right here in Jacksonville, the south side, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. The street number is 11291. 11291 Old San Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, ladies and gentlemen, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, all the staff at Tools for Time find it to be a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a brief time for a brief monologue, and then we'll introduce our very special guest today. We'll be having dialogue and discussion about some of these issues. We'll be having dialogue and discussion about the Twitter onion files, the Twitter onion being peeled. What does it mean? Why is it being done? Who's doing it? What will it do? We'll be talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, the global genocide that I believe is what we've been watching for the past 3 years, with the plandemic, as some call it, and I'm being more and more convinced that's exactly what it was. In fact, I read an article this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that I did not have time to review enough to bring to the microphone this morning for the broadcast. But I discovered documentation that our federal government started back in 2007, 2008, in the planning for a total national lockdown, how it would be carried out, what would be done, and with a total requirement under the auspices of a health emergency on what they would do and how it could be done. And that was the playbook that's been used even to this date by the Biden administration. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe what we've been watching is a total lie, a deception. We have been lied to, but ladies and gentlemen, I believe the forefront of the news today, and I don't know if you read it, don't know if you've heard it, I'm going to read you some headlines. We'll talk about it briefly and how we've been lied to in contradiction to what the governor's doing, and not about his lying, but what's been done with the FDA and the CDC, et cetera. Title of this article says, DeSantis power move on COVID vaccine targets the drug makers. As he has done many times before, the Florida Republican governor, Ron DeSantis, is flexing his state muscle to address an issue where many see federal failures, expanding a state grand jury to investigate whether drug makers and federal agencies hid potential risk or problems posed by the COVID-19 mRNA vaccine. His power move, this writer's calling it, his power move announced Tuesday may reshape the debate over whether federal science agencies and drug makers can share legal blame for any harm the vaccines are believed to have caused. Further in the article, it says, I think people want to know the truth about that, and I think people want accountability, DeSantis said Tuesday in explaining his decision to ask the Florida Supreme Court to impanel the grand jury. You need to have a thorough investigation into what's happened with these shots, end quote. The article further states, normally, vaccine safety is an issue left to the federal regulators, like the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, and the CDC, with the Center for Disease Control Prevention. It goes on to say, but DeSantis is injecting himself, this writer says, into the debate, declaring alongside his Surgeon General on Tuesday that the state law prohibits drug makers from making false or misleading statements about drugs or vaccine policy. Ladies and gentlemen, I commend him for doing that. I commend Ron DeSantis, our governor, for doing that. But let me do a little parenthetical Youngblood footnote on that statement. It was last year that Governor DeSantis pushed the Speaker of the House. The Speaker of the House pushed the members of the House and also the leadership in the Senate to sign off without much debate at all on Senate Bill 7014. That bill, ladies and gentlemen, was ultimately passed and signed by our governor that will not expire until July of 2023. That bill, that law had already been in effect. They introduced new legislation to make it go further, so it was carried out, signed into law by the governor, goes into effect as in effect until July of 2023. You ask, well, what does that law do? It makes it possible for any medical establishment, any doctor, any hospital, any facility that administers medical care to be held totally harmless with total immunity from any suit, from anybody, even if you know and you can prove that it was medical malpractice or deception in administering the medication, we can do nothing in the state of Florida because of that law. And it was the governor that insisted that the Speaker of the House, that he insist that the representatives sign off on the bill. And I know that for a fact because I've talked with several of our representatives, I've talked with several of our senators, and I know for a fact that's what took place. In fact, several of our Duval delegation admitted that they had not even read the bill, but they were told they must sign it into law, must approve it for law. So now I say that, again, I commend the governor for what he's doing with this wanting to impanel a grand jury to investigate, but I question his full knowledge of what really is taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll recall that for over 3 years, or about 3 years now, I've been talking about and sounding the alarm bells about how we've been deceived. I'm going to touch on this, then I'm going to introduce our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. We've been lied to about the COVID origins. We were told that it came from a bat lab, a bat to market, and that's been proven to be a total fallacious lie. We were lied about the need for lockdowns. We were lied to about the so-called social distancing, saying that we didn't need herd immunity, that social distancing is what we needed, and the lockdowns. We were lied to about the efficacy of the COVID jab. We were lied to about the health risk. We were told that COVID jabs are safe and effective, and neither are true. In fact, on the recent Senator Ron Johnson panel, where he was investigating, he's been investigating about a three-hour panel discussion. Without any exception, Dr. McClone, Dr. Malone, Dr. Cole, and other physicians and other senators on the panel made one statement. One statement was very, very, very telling. One of those physicians slash scientists said, if you're in a doctor's office and the doctor says, this jab, talking about the COVID jab, is safe and effective, he said, get up, don't walk, but run from that doctor and out of the office, because the jab is neither safe nor effective. And yet we have introduced that into the homes and the families of those across the nation. And yay, it's been done around the world. And we're finding now hundreds of thousands, yay, millions are dropping dead as a result of the COVID jab and not from COVID itself. So, ladies and gentlemen, it demands that we have an investigation, and that's something that's not being done from the federal level. And so I am therefore thankful that Governor Ron DeSantis is doing that. But, ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with us today a very special guest. And that special guest is the one that we've talked with multitudinous times on this broadcast. We have with us today, and it's our privilege to have him with us, the Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill is the former representative of District 1 for the state of Florida, and I'm thankful that he's taken time out of his schedule to be with us today. This Christmas season, when I know there's a lot of shopping that needs to be done, a lot of work that must be carried off out in the office, but Congressman Hill, I'm thankful that you've taken time to join us. Welcome to Let's Face the Issues today.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me on the show. And in your monologue, you raise such important issues and thoughts, and I look forward to sharing those with you throughout the rest of the show.
Yes, sir, and I'm looking forward to your responses, because I'm of the opinion that we're in quite a precarious position in noticing what has taken place. In fact, Congressman Hill, I'll touch base reading a portion of this three-page article. FDA just announced the recall of the COVID-19 test due to the false results. I'm going to let that sink in for a moment for our listeners. U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, on Tuesday announced COVID-19 test manufacturer is issuing a recall due to the false test results. COVID-19 tests were made by Detect Incorporated and were sent to consumers between July 26th and August 26th of this year, according to the recall notice. There's an increased chance that the test from the manufacturer's product will give a false negative result. Congressman, you and I both have talked about this before, and the inventor of the PCR test that was used primarily for testing for COVID, if a person had the common cold within 90 days, or if he had any other virus infection that would be in the realm of influenza, it would show that as COVID, and yet we have had hundreds of thousands, yea, perhaps millions, that have gone to the hospital or they've been treated with the COVID protocol based on the fact that that test says you had COVID. Do you believe that it's too late and too little for FDA now to try to start closing loopholes and admitting that they were wrong? Several of the areas they've talked about that they're wrong. Dr. Birx in her book said that they had manipulated the figures in order to get the end results. She's bragging about in her book that they lied, they deceived us. But that's not the only deception. I'm going to talk about a whole list of deceptions that we've gone through. What is your take on the fact that they're now saying that FDA announces the recall on the COVID test? Is this something that is too late, too little? Is this something that is good? Does this say to us, does this have an indication that they've known something far longer and now admitting it because they see some questions about it from some governors, especially in the state of Florida?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, it's interesting as you continue reading that article, it says that they are recalling them because they were giving a false negative. Mm-hmm. In other words, the tests were saying that you don't have COVID,
right,
when in fact you did.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the good news. Okay, so the test comes back and says you don't have COVID. So the person goes, okay, I guess I have the flu or something. And they naturally recover. They don't have to go into the hospital and receive those protocols, which we know were causing great harm, injury, and killing people. Instead, they use their natural immunity to recover, which, by the way, we know that 99.9% of all people who did have COVID would recover from it without any shots, vaccines, going to the hospital or anything. They would recover, the vast majority of people. So here the FDA is coming out saying, whoa, wait a minute, we have to recall these because they were improperly telling you that you didn't have COVID when in fact you did. Well, that was a good thing that they were giving those false negatives because then you have natural herd immunity building up. But the timing of this, as you say, Dr. Youngblood, is this, you know, a good thing or bad? Is it too late to do it now? And I would say, no, it's not too late. And the reason I say that is this going to give more people pause to not trust what the FDA says in the first place, because they're not finished with us, Dr. Youngblood.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to come out with another round of some sort of pandemic just so that they can control us and do what they want. It is all part of this World Economic Forum, the Council on Foreign Relations agenda to control the world's population, including the U.S. population, the land of the free and the home of the brave. So they're going to try something else again. And what this will do, I believe, is let more Americans know you cannot trust what is coming out of the FDA, the CDC, the World Health Organization, or any of them. They have proven themselves to be someone that you cannot trust.
You touched on that, and I don't know if you've read this article. Headline says, the World Health Organization, John Hopkins, and Bill Gates just conducted another pandemic simulation. This time, the virus is deadlier and targets our children. The article reads in part, the Johns Hopkins Center for Health and Security partnered with the World Health Organization and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to conduct a catastrophic contagion, an exercise to simulate a global pandemic that is deadlier than the coronavirus and especially dangerous for children. I made a little marginal note on that. Remember, this was done in 2014, when they had conducted this same type of forum and saying that we're going to have a pandemic. In fact, it was Sir Anthony Fauci that told Donald Trump when he was on the platform just after being sworn into office that he would face a pandemic. How did they know? Because they'd already done the strategizing and the planning as far back as 2014, and some say as far back as 2009. And Bill Gates was in attendance, this article says. The group conducted catastrophic contagions in Brussels, Belgium, on October the 23rd, 2022. During the simulation, the World Health Organization's Health Advisory Board addressed a fictional severe epidemic respiratory syndrome pandemic that originates in Brazil and disseminates across the globe. The exercise simulated a series of World Health Organization emergency health advisory board meetings, et cetera, et cetera. But the point is this. It's a fictional news outlet. They set it up even to the point of setting up a fictional news outlet. It's seen in footage during the pandemic simulation announcing the high death toll, particularly among children, from a pandemic that the world could have prevented in countries if they had adopted the pandemic operational drills and adhered to the World Health Organization's pandemic guidelines. As of today, this pretended scenario, as of today, there have been an estimated 1 billion cases worldwide with more than 20 million deaths, including 15 million children. Countless millions are alive but left with paralyzed condition or brain damage. The article closes, basically says, just months before COVID-19 outbreak, the same world elites that conducted the severe epidemic environmental respiratory syndrome of 2025 had a similar exercise in October 2019, dubbed the 2001 event. And they're projecting that by in 2025, there will be another crisis, another pandemic. And this pandemic will affect and kill our children and not the adults. Do you see something foreshadowing here that's kind of dubious to say the least? Because if we know that that happened in the past, in the preparation, the planning, the projection of what's going to happen and what we've seen happening in the past 3 years now, does that seem to be a frightening, foreshadowing of what the elitists have in mind for further genocide on a global basis?
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. And I think what is going to be the precipice for this are the COVID-19 vaccines themselves. That is what's going to cause this great pandemic that they are planning. And that is why they are pushing these vaccines on infants. It used to be those 16 and older, and then they dropped it from 5-year-old to 16-year-olds. Now they've dropped it down to infants that they want to give these vaccines to, even though we know the damages that these vaccines can cause. Whereas you said, Dr. Youngblood, there are people worldwide who are suddenly dropping dead, world-class athletes who are dying on the field. We're seeing it almost on a daily basis, and those are just the ones that are being reported. Those are people who have received the vaccine and are having very serious side effects from those vaccines, because the vaccines themselves were put together in too much of a hasty manner. The intended goal was simply to make more money by these pharmaceutical companies instead of protecting the public. It was simply to make money. We saw where the CDC would issue these guidelines on these vaccines, when to take them, and the FDA, very wrongly, and I would say maliciously, were approving these vaccines at a younger and younger age. And I think that is what is going to cause this next pandemic to happen, is the results of receiving those vaccines.
Absolutely. And you touched on something. We've got about a minute before the top of the hour news break, but let's take that minute for this. You touched on something that caused me to think. We've got total silence on the part of all the news media. For example, the sports writer, last name Wall, W-A-H-L, just dropped dead while giving a report. Wall was, I believe, in his late 30s, or perhaps 50, I've forgotten the age, and dropped dead. And now they're saying it's because he had a latent heart ailment that just manifested itself and took his life. That's a good indication. And you're talking about, and we've read article after article about, the fact that around the globe, millions are dropping dead, and yet there is seemingly silence on the news about revealing what and how. Congressman, hold on for just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.